Long-time foes make amends. Turkey and Armenia announce steps to normalise relations. Why is this happening now? And can they build trust after decades of animosity? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the programme. I'm Imran Khan. Relations between Armenia and Turkey have been described as frosty and tense, even hostile. The biggest and longest-lasting controversy was undoubtedly the mass killing of Armenians during World War I. But there's also Armenia's current territorial dispute with Turkey's ally Azerbaijan. However, things may be about to improve. On Monday, Turkey announced both sides will appoint special envoys to work on normalising ties. Armenia's foreign ministry confirmed this in a statement a few hours later. The United States has welcomed the decision. Turkey's foreign minister says Ankara will coordinate steps with Azerbaijan.
I want to share two pieces of news with you. We have consulted with Azerbaijan. Soon we will mutually appoint special representatives with Armenia for the steps towards normalization. And we will act together with Azerbaijan at every step. And in the near future, we will start charter flights with Armenia.
As we heard, relations between Ankara and Yerevan have been strained since the mass killing of Armenians during the Ottoman Empire in the early 20th century. Often referred to by Armenians as the first genocide, an estimated 1.5 million people were killed. But Turkey rejects the killings at the time of the First World War amounted to genocide and denies they were systematically orchestrated. The border between the two countries has been closed since the 1990s and diplomatic relations put on hold. In 2009, Turkey and Armenia finally signed a peace accord to restore ties, but that deal was never ratified. 5 years later, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan offered Turkey's first ever condolences for the mass killings of Armenians. Let's bring in our guests. Joining us from Istanbul, Mithat Çelikpala, Professor of International Relations and Vice-Rector at Kadir Has University. From Yerevan, Richard Giragosian, Director of Regional Studies Center in Armenia. And also from Istanbul, Matthew Breiser, a former US ambassador to Azerbaijan and non-resident senior fellow at the Atlantic Council's Eurasia Center. A warm welcome to you all. I'd like to start in Istanbul with Mithat Çelikpala first. This has been a very long time coming. But this latest announcement is basically two jobs, two special envoys, and some flights between the two countries. Is it the breakthrough that Istanbul and Armenia were looking for, or is it just a good start?
It's a good start, in fact, not only for Armenia and Turkey, but for the region as well. You know, parties were negotiating for a long while, all those developments and the historical issues, but, you know, after a couple of trials, they failed to start to negotiate the normalization processes. It seems that for the first time, after for a long while, there is a political will and suitable political environment in the region to get together and to establish a kind of a diplomatic relations between two parties. And its reflections most probably will affect very positively all the region. And again, most probably all the partner countries, including Russia and Europeans, as well as the US, will contribute very positively. If the parties manage to move forward and to establish diplomatic relations and with a step-by-step approach to move further, then most probably it's a revolutionary move and a kind of a contribution to bring a peace and stability towards the region.
Richard Giragosian in Yerevan, one of the sticking points for all of this has been language. Is it a mass killing of the Armenians during the Ottoman Empire, or was it, as you say, a genocide? Has that language now been sorted out? Is there an agreement backstage that we don't know about?
Well, I would actually argue that language is not a sticking point. In other words, what we're talking about is a process of normalization. This is not reconciliation. And dealing with history in a more sincere way, the genocide issue, these are deferred to a reconciliation later stage. What we're talking about is what Mithat referred to, two basic objectives of normalizing relations. reopening the closed border and establishing diplomatic relations, full stop. Therefore, much more practical and much more realistic.
It is much more practical, it is much more realistic. But, Mitat, we've seen this before in international relations between Jordan and Israel, and yet things haven't really progressed since the Oslo Accords in the mid-90s. I mean, all that's really happened is there are flights, there is some sort of negotiation, but there's no true peace agreement between those two countries. Are you confident that Turkey can break that mold?
Yes, there is a possibility, of course. You know, we have different experiences in different regions. But, you know, this time, parties know each other. And therefore, the expectations are not that high. It is just that to start to move forward. And more than that, Armenia's experience is much more important after the war. And Turkey is ready to work together with. Now we have Azerbaijan involving the processes as well. And there is a strong political party in Armenia, in Yerevan. And there is a strong political party in Ankara. Therefore, the equation is ready to move forward. Of course, there are some issues, but as you asked the previous question, the parties are not concentrating on the big issues. Much more practical starting points. And from those starting points, they can easily move forward. And this kind of a negotiation is not against any actor in the region. It is a kind of an all-inclusive perspective. Therefore, I'm a kind of a positive perspective I have towards the success of this such a kind of a move.
Richard Gergosian in Yerevan, how important was it that Azerbaijan was part of this discussion? Was that a driver for this latest talks?
Well, very much so. In fact, if we look back at the first round of engagement during the protocol process back in 2008, it was Azerbaijan that belatedly opposed and then derailed the process. What we have now is Azerbaijan in a post-war reality is very much willing to see what we can do in terms of normalization. And it's just that, a second round of re-engagement. We've learned lessons from the past, and I do think it's a low-hanging fruit. In other words, a rare success for Turkish foreign policy as well.
Matthew Breiser, also in Istanbul. One of the most interesting things, I guess, about this is it wasn't a US-influenced or a US-led accord. This was actually these two countries getting together with Azerbaijan and saying, OK, we can make this step. Did it come as a surprise to the US, or has the US been involved in any way?
Well, I don't think it's a surprise at all for the United States. And I should clarify that I was very actively involved in the 2009 process when I was the U.S. mediator between Azerbaijan and Armenia. And at that time, President Barack Obama was strongly encouraging the reconciliation. This time, the United States hasn't played that role. It effectively has, well, really lost a lot of its significance in the region over the course of the last couple of presidencies. But especially since a year ago in July, when there were military clashes along the Azerbaijan-Armenia border before the Second Karabakh War, and the U.S. wasn't really involved at all in the mediation. It was Russia and Turkey that filled a diplomatic vacuum. So I know that President Biden supports the reconciliation of Turkey and Armenia. And I know that the Azerbaijani government, as Richard was just saying, would like to see reconciliation of Armenia with both Azerbaijan and with Turkey. You know, Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Russia have all signed agreements calling for reopening of all transit routes between Armenia and Azerbaijan, Armenia and Turkey, and also including Russia. So, and I think Armenian Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan has also wanted to see this normalization happen because it will lead to investment, it will lead to economic growth and jobs and stability. He has been obstructed, however, by his own political opponents who were playing their own games and talking about continuing conflict. So to sum it up, it's not a surprise at all for the United States because I think U.S. diplomats realized that the pieces were in place. Armenia, Turkey, and Azerbaijan, as well as Russia, would all like to see this collaboration renew in a way that will reintegrate Armenia into the regional economy.
Well, let's talk about economics. Mitat Çelikpaşalı in Istanbul. The Turkish lira is tanking against the dollar. It's the weakest it's been in a number of years. Turkey does need investment. Was that a driver for this? Because there's a lot of investment that can be made.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, Turkey is part of the Caucasus, and all the networks, not only the political networks and cultural networks, but all trade and economic networks established via Turkey to Europe from the region. And therefore, there is a kind of a Turkish activities in the region since the collapse of the Soviet Union. What was missing in this equation was was Armenia. After the war, last couple of months, you know, this prerequisite removed from the scene, and there is a time to work all together, you know, to establish an infrastructure and to move forward to link to Turkey as a peaceful actor in the region. They are all on the table, and it seems that Turkey has a kind of a relationship, multilateral relationship with all those actors. Therefore, there is a strong venue to move forward, and it is an important thing that Turkey has removed all those political obstacles in front of Turkey's involvement in the region. Therefore, this is a big project with the participation of all European, American, and as well as Russian partners in the region. And it seems that Armenia is giving a kind of a green light to the project. And this is very important from my side. And Ankara is ready to negotiate all those issues without any precondition. And it's also an important development.
Richard, is this advantage Armenia here then because of the economic situation that Turkey finds itself in? Does Yerevan have the upper hand here in a way?
I'm not sure I would say upper hand, but I do say there are two important observations. One is economics and trade, for the first time ever, are now recognized as important incentives in this post-war period. That's very important in terms of a positive change. The second observation, however, is for Turkey, normalization is not just about Armenia. It's normalization with Israel and the UAE, but it's also about Russia. Because after the war last year, Russia excluded Turkey from the Trilateral Working Group on Regional Trade and Transport. So for Ankara, normalization with Armenia is a way to regain a seat at the table in the broader promise of the restoration of all regional trade and transport and the reopening of borders. So in that context, Armenia is in a good position to counter the threat of isolation.
Matthew Breiser, Russia is in a good position here, says our guest in Yerevan. But that doesn't mean the Americans have a seat at the table, and the Americans are relevant here now?
Yeah, I was hinting at that before. I think the U.S. relevancy has decreased dramatically since the period right before the war and during the war. I mean, the United States is still the United States, and it is a member of the multilateral working group. It's called the OSCE's Minsk group. But the role of that organization remains to be seen because the basics of the conflict have been settled now militarily. There is a need for there to be a negotiation on a comprehensive peace agreement, as well as a negotiation to demarcate the boundaries, the borders between Azerbaijan and Armenia, which are still undrawn. And it's Russia that was able to insert in a communique on November 26th when he hosted in Sochi President Ilham Aliyev of Azerbaijan, Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan of Armenia, to say that the two parties will begin negotiations and form working groups to delineate their border, and Russia will help them. So Russia has stepped in with almost a 2,000-person peacekeeping force on the ground. Turkey is also has a smaller peacekeeping contingent, so there's sort of a NATO presence. But the U.S. is not absent. And, yeah, it's not clear to me what role the U.S. is going to play from here on out. I mean, the South Caucasus, as I said, for the last couple of U.S. administrations, since the time of George W. Bush, have not been much of a focal point. And you will remember under the Obama administration, the policy toward Russia was one of resetting Russia relations, Russia reset. And that was in reaction to a very active engagement by the Bush administration in the South Caucasus. So the U.S. is sort of by choice withdrawn from the South Caucasus, not entirely, but it ceded diplomatic territory to Turkey, to Russia as well.
Mitat, the US may well have ceded influence from the South Caucasus, but actually it's still a pretty big player in Turkey. It still has the Incirlik air base there. The Turks, however, did buy Russian air defense systems, which angered the US. Is one got to do with another? Is this normalization of relations with Armenia a gift to the US and saying, look, we are doing some of the things you want us to do, just don't take away our air defense system?
No, this is true. Turkey has some issues with its own partners, but Turkey is a NATO member country, and Turkey's security and Turkey's perspective towards the Caucasus are in line with the Western world and the US. And most probably, any kind of a rapprochement with Armenia or the normalization processes will contribute peace in the region, and more than that, it contributes as a game changer to change the environment. It serves the American and US interest, but it serves Russian interest as well. You know, Russia is on the field as an actor, but you know, they just froze the conflict again. They are not working on the line to normalize or resolve the issue. But any kind of a Turkish-Armenian rapprochement or normalization, together with Armenian-Azerbaijani rapprochement, will change the environment. It's going to be a game changer. I don't think that the US or the others going to be against it. It's not a kind of an initiative against any actor. Even for Russians, maybe Russians do not like the initial processes, and they would like to be part of all those developments. But, you know, most probably, even the Russians will profit from this such kind of a conflict resolution. And it is a kind of a contribution, at least on the one field, Turkish-American relations may have a kind of a positive agenda to restart, to negotiate or to discuss some other issues as well.
Richard, we keep talking about this idea of normalization of relations, not a conciliatory or consolidation of relations. Russia is a key player here, absolutely. But what is Russia looking to get out of this, do you think?
Well, I would argue that Russian support is actually both demonstrable but also necessary. What we see is, even with the reopening of the closed border between Turkey and Armenia, it's also a closed border between Turkey and the Eurasian Economic Union, very much a pet project of President Putin. In this context, it's Russian-owned sectors of the Armenian economy that benefit most and first from a border reopening. And for Russia, there's little danger of losing Armenia to NATO or to Turkey. Having said that, I do think that the future in terms of normalization is a process that has become inevitable. It's no longer a question of if, but when and how.
But has it become inevitable, Richard, because the Russians are deeply involved, or is it always going to happen?
No, I think there's an accidental convergence of interests between Turkey, Armenia, and even Azerbaijan in terms of the necessity for post-war stability. And as Mitat has already said, this is a rare positive game changer in a region very much at risk.
Matthew, I am going to come to you in just a second, but I want to put Richard's points to Mitat. Mitat, do you trust the Russians?
You know, Turkish-Russian relations in a balance, then Russians have some limited capacity as well. Therefore, you know, they cannot prevent any kind of a rapprochement between Turkey and Armenia, and all the parties are involved in it. They have a political will. And this is against our Russian interest as well. What the Russians would like to see to have a kind of a role within this issue. But, you know, they failed to attract Turkey and Armenia to move forward. We tried once before this, the first rapprochement processes. But this new trend is in between Turkey and Armenia with some Azerbaijani involvement as well. Therefore, this is a case. And this is very important, and this is the reason I am calling it a game changer. Therefore, I don't expect any kind of a Russian discomfort from such a kind of a rapprochement or diplomatic relations. And there is a potential, as Richard mentioned, that Eurasian Union will easily reach over Turkey to Armenia, to the west or to the east. Therefore, I don't think that Russians will unhappy with such a kind of a move.
Matthew, it is almost extraordinary to think that post-Second World War, there is finally an agreement on an international conflict that the Americans and the Russians can get behind. That seems unusual to me. Is that? Would you agree with that?
Ah, it's quite unusual. But it, you know, I have to say, in my experience, as I mentioned before, as the U.S. mediator, there was a moment in September 2008, which was a month after Russia had invaded Georgia, when I had the honor to have a conversation with the Russian foreign minister, and he made clear at that point that, you know, as opposed as the U.S. and Russia had been and are to this day in Georgia, we were on the same side when it comes to our, the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. And you know, that wasn't just rhetoric. I mean, the way my Russian counterpart behaved, and Minister Lavrov himself, was sincere. They were creative. They were brainstorming with my French counterpart and me, looking for breakthroughs, looking for ways to move the process forward. I always thought that, you know, the Russian side wanted to avoid an armed conflict. They didn't want this war that happened. And they wanted to get a framework in place, but maybe not to finalize that framework. Be a peacemaker, but allow there to be some instability out there on the horizon so that they could stir the pot into the future. And they were not in favor. They were against Turkey-Armenia normalization back then. Now they're in favor of it.
Well, let's not take it away from either Turkey or Armenia. They're the main drivers of this agreement here. It's not America. It's not Russia. It's Turkey. It's Armenia. Richard, in Yerevan, we are running out of time, but just quickly, did you ever think this day was going to come?
Yes. To be honest, I've been long engaged and invested in normalization between Armenia and Turkey, and my eternal optimism is now a justified optimism.
And Mithat, would you agree? Did you think this day would ever come?
Yes, I agree, because you know, after the Nagorno-Karabakh war, the last war, parties were involving these processes in a kind of a confidential level, but for the first time they are openly declared that they are ready to move, which means they already prepared the background, and I am very optimistic for this time, because you know, Turkish and Azerbaijani public opinion is ready to see such a kind of a rapprochement.
Now, although this is a Turkey-Armenia success, I'm going to ask the last question to Matthew. Matthew, if this works out and the Americans and Russians can get behind it, does that mean they can get behind other disagreements in the region, other disagreements globally, or is this just a one-off?
I think this is a one-off for all sorts of unique reasons. But, you know, as I was saying before, the Russian side always negotiated in good faith when we were dealing with Nagorno-Karabakh. And I think that that gets to something that Richard was saying before, is that it would be hard for Armenia to be any more dependent on Russia than it is. And if Russia wants to improve its geopolitical standing in the South Caucasus, that means it needs to improve its relations with Azerbaijan. Everywhere else, in all the other conflicts, let's say Georgia, right, Russia sees it as a zero-sum game, right? Same with Ukraine. But this is a non-zero-sum game.
And I want to thank all our guests, Mithat Çelikpala, Richard Girgosian and Matthew Breiser. And I want to thank you two for watching. You can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. And you can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Imran Khan, and the whole team here, bye for now.